Homodeus, A Brief History of Tomorrow. Electricity, Genetics, and Radical Islam. Part 2. If you count on national health services, pension funds, and free schools, you need to thank Marx and Lenin and Otto von Bismarck far more than Hong Jing-kwan or the Mahdi. Why did Marx and Lenin succeed where Hong and the Mahdi failed? Not because socialist humanism was philosophically more sophisticated than Islamic and Christian theology, but rather because Marx and Lenin devoted more attention to understanding the technological and economic realities of their time than to perusing ancient texts and prophetic dreams. Steam engines, railroads, telegraphs, and electricity created unheard-of problems as well as unprecedented opportunities. The experiences, needs, and hopes of the new class of urban proletariats were simply too different from those of biblical peasants. To answer these needs and hopes, Marx and Lenin studied how a steam engine functions, how a coal mine operates, how railroads shape the economy, and how electricity influences politics. Lenin was once asked to define communism in a single sentence. "Communism is power to worker councils," he said, "plus electrification of the whole country. There can be no communism without electricity, without railroads, without radio. You cannot establish a communist regime in 16th century Russia because communism necessitates this concentration of information and resources in one hub. From each according to his ability to each according to his needs, only works when produce can easily be collected and distributed across vast distances and when activities can be monitored and coordinated over entire countries." Marx and his followers understood the new technological realities and the new human experiences, so they had relevant answers to the new problems of industrial society, as well as original ideas about how to benefit from the unprecedented opportunities. The socialists created a brave new religion for a brave new world. They promised salvation through technology and economics, thus establishing the first techno-religion in history, and changing the foundations of ideological discourse. Before Marx, people defined and divided themselves according to their views about God, not about production methods. Since Marx, questions of technology and economic structure became far more important and divisive than debates about the soul and the afterlife. In the second half of the 20th century, humankind almost obliterated itself in an argument about production methods. Even the harshest critics of Marx and Lenin adopted their basic attitude towards history and society and began thinking about technology and production much more carefully than about God and heaven. In the mid-19th century, few people were as perceptive as Marx, hence only a few countries underwent rapid industrialization. These few countries conquered the world. Most societies failed to understand what was happening, and they therefore missed the train of progress. Dayananda's India and the Mahdi's Sudan remained far more preoccupied with God than with steam engines. Hence, they were occupied and exploited by industrial Britain. Only in the last few years has India managed to make significant progress in closing the economic and geopolitical gap separating it from Britain. Sudan is still struggling far behind. In the early 21st century, the train of progress is again pulling out of the station, and this will probably be the last train ever to leave the station called Homo sapiens. Those who miss this train will never get a second chance. In order to get a seat on it, you need to understand 21st century technology, and in particular the powers of biotechnology and computer algorithms. These powers are far more potent than steam and the telegraph, and they will not be used merely for the production of food, textiles, vehicles, and weapons. The main products of the 21st century will be bodies, brains, and minds, and the gap between those who know how to engineer bodies and brains and those who do not, will be far bigger than the gap between Dickens' Britain and the Mahdi's Sudan. Indeed, it will be bigger than the gap between sapiens and Neanderthals. In the 21st century, those who ride the train of progress will acquire divine abilities of creation and destruction, while those left behind will face extinction. Socialism, which was very up-to-date 100 years ago, failed to keep up with the new technology. Leonid Brezhnev and Fidel Castro held on to ideas that Marx and Lenin formulated in the age of steam and did not understand the power of computers and biotechnology. Liberals, in contrast, adapted far better to the information age. This explains partly why Khrushchev's 1956 prediction never materialized and why it was the liberal capitalists who eventually buried the Marxists. If Marx came back to life today, he would probably urge his few remaining disciples to devote less time to reading Das Kapital and more time to studying the internet and the human genome. Radical Islam is in a far worse position than socialism. It has not yet even come to terms with the Industrial Revolution. No wonder it has little of relevance to say about genetic engineering and artificial intelligence. Islam, Christianity, and other traditional religions are still important players in the world, yet their role is now largely reactive. In the past, they were a creative force. Christianity, for example, spread the hitherto heretical idea that all humans are equal before God, thereby changing human political structures, social hierarchies, and even gender relations. In his Sermon on the Mount, Jesus went further, insisting that the meek and oppressed are God's favorite people, thus turning the pyramid of power on its head and providing ammunition for generations of revolutionaries. In addition to social and ethical reforms, Christianity was responsible for important economic and technological innovations. The Catholic Church established medieval Europe's most sophisticated administrative system and pioneered the use of archives, catalogues, timetables, and other techniques of data processing. The Vatican was the closest thing 12th century Europe had to Silicon Valley. The Church established Europe's first economic corporation, the monasteries, which for 1,000 years spearheaded the European economy and introduced advanced agricultural and administrative methods. Monasteries were the first institutions to use clocks, and for centuries they and the cathedral schools were the most important learning centers of Europe, helping to found many of Europe's first universities, such as Bologna, Oxford, and Salamanca. Today, the Catholic Church continues to enjoy the loyalties and tithes of hundreds of millions of followers. Yet it and the other theist religions have long since turned from a creative into a reactive force. They are busy with rearguard holding operations more than with pioneering novel technologies, innovative economic methods, or groundbreaking social ideas. They now mostly agonize over the technologies, methods, and ideas propagated by other movements. Biologists invent the contraceptive pill, and the Pope does not know what to do about it. Computer scientists develop the internet, and rabbis argue whether Orthodox Jews should be allowed to surf it. Feminist thinkers call upon women to take possession of their bodies, and learned muftis debate how to confront such incendiary ideas. Ask yourself, what was the most influential discovery, invention, or creation of the 20th century? That's a difficult question because it is hard to choose from a long list of candidates, including scientific discoveries such as antibiotics, technological inventions such as computers, and ideological creations such as feminism. Now ask yourself, what was the most influential discovery, invention, or creation of traditional religions such as Islam and Christianity in the 20th century? This too is a very difficult question because there is so little to choose from. What did priests, rabbis, and muftis discover in the 20th century that can be mentioned in the same breath as antibiotics, computers, or feminism? Having mulled over these two questions, from where do you think the big changes of the 21st century will emerge? From the Islamic State or from Google? Yes, the Islamic State knows how to put videos on YouTube, but leaving aside the industry of torture, how many new startups have emerged from Syria or Iraq lately? Billions of people, including many scientists, continue to use religious scriptures as a source of authority, but these texts are no longer a source of creativity. Think, for example, about the acceptance of gay marriage or female clergy by the more progressive branches of Christianity. Where did this acceptance originate? Not from reading the Bible, St. Augustine, or Martin Luther. Rather, it came from reading texts like Michel Foucault's The History of Sexuality, or Donna Haraway's A Cyborg Manifesto. That Christian true believers, however progressive, cannot admit to drawing their ethics from Foucault and Haraway. So they go back to the Bible, to St. Augustine and to Martin Luther, and make a very thorough search. They read page after page and story after story with the utmost attention until they find what they need. Some maxim, parable, or ruling that if interpreted creatively enough, means that God blesses gay marriages and that women can be ordained into priesthood. They then pretend the idea originated in the Bible when in fact it originated with Foucault. The Bible is kept as a source of authority, even though it is no longer a true source of inspiration. That's why traditional religions offer no real alternative to liberalism. Their scriptures do not have anything to say about genetic engineering or artificial intelligence, and most priests, rabbis, and muftis do not understand the latest breakthroughs in biology and computer science. For if you want to understand these breakthroughs, you don't have much choice. You need to spend time reading scientific articles and conducting lab experiments instead of memorizing and debating ancient texts. That does not mean liberalism can rest on its laurels. True, it has won the humanist wars of religion, and as of 2016, it has no viable alternative. But its very success may contain the seeds of its ruin. The triumphant liberal ideals are now pushing humankind to reach for immortality, bliss, and divinity. Egged on by the allegedly infallible wishes of customers and voters, scientists and engineers devote more and more energies to these liberal projects. Yet, what the scientists are discovering and what the engineers are developing may unwittingly expose both the inherent flaws in the liberal worldview and the blindness of customers and voters. When genetic engineering and artificial intelligence reveal their full potential, liberalism, democracy, and free markets might become as obsolete as flint knives, tape cassettes, Islam, and communism. This book began by forecasting that in the 21st century, humans will try to attain immortality, bliss, and divinity. This forecast is not very original or far-sighted. It simply reflects the traditional ideals of liberal humanism. Since humanism has long sanctified the life, the emotions, and the desires of human beings, it's hardly surprising that a humanist civilization will want to maximize human lifespans, human happiness, and human power. Yet the third and final part of the book will argue that attempting to realize this humanist dream will undermine its very foundations by unleashing new post-humanist technologies. The humanist belief in feelings has enabled us to benefit from the fruits of the modern covenant without paying its price. We don't need any gods to limit our power and give us meaning. The free choices of customers and voters supply us with all the meaning we require. What then will happen once we realize that customers and voters never make free choices, and once we have the technology to calculate, design, or outsmart their feelings? If the whole universe is pegged to the human experience, what will happen once the human experience becomes just another designable product, no different in essence from any other item in the supermarket? That's it for today. I create a lot of content. I run a debating podcast, I write stories, I film videos with a drone, and I run many other projects too. If you'd like to stay informed of things I do, sign up to my private newsletter. It's free. Head to bit.ly/newslettersebastian, all attached and in lowercase. Thank you for listening.